In today's screen-riddled world, it has never been more important to connect our younger generations to plants and nature at a young age so they can become stewards of this earth and leave a positive impact. My motto, start 'em young, comes to mind. It's really not my motto. It's a well-known phrase, but when it comes to houseplants, I say start 'em young all the time. And today's guest has dedicated her life to getting kiddo plant parents from all over the world engaged and growing a relationship with nature. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, my plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. If you're a returning listener, welcome home. If you're a new listener, I'm so excited that you're here. And today is a great episode because it's all about getting kids to get engaged with plants. When I came up with this idea, I thought this would only be for parents, like as a way for a parent to get their kids engaged. But what I have realized after this conversation is this is a way for so many of us to explore how we can connect with younger generations, whether it's going to our local garden center and pitching a class like this, whether it's taking the kids on our block for a nature walk or getting our nieces and nephews involved. There's so many different ways that you'll be able to engage kids with houseplants and nature after this. And I'm so excited to introduce you guys to Priscilla Joseph. She's a Canadian author and illustrator, a friend of mine. I've been a guest on her podcast. And she's a plant lover who has really dedicated her life to empowering kids to connect with nature and houseplants. And she does that primarily through her talks that she does and also her book, which is called My First ABC Book of Houseplants. So whether you are a plant-loving parent, a caregiver, a teacher, or frankly, just someone looking to inspire your inner child through connecting with plants, this conversation is going to light you up. So let's dive in. Priscilla, it's so wonderful to have you on the podcast after I was a guest on your podcast so many moons ago.
Thank you so much for having me on Growing Joy. It's such a pleasure. It's like full circle.
Very full circle. And I think when we had first connected, you hadn't even published your book. I mean, I knew you were a plant lady, but I didn't realize your full scope of your mission to empower children, care for plants, you know, start them young. That's something I always tell whenever I see people, you know, having their kids engaging with plants, and you are taking that start 'em young concept even farther. So where do we begin? How did you become the plant lady that you are today, who's so focused on empowering the future generations to care for plants?
Yes. Oh, I'm so passionate about houseplants and kids. And I think that we don't give kids enough credit. Well, I didn't, for sure. I didn't give kids enough credit. But quickly about myself, I grew up around houseplants. My grandma and my mom had houseplants everywhere. They were unacknowledged houseplant people. They had houseplants everywhere, in the corridor, in the hallway, in every nook, bathroom, kitchen, absolutely everywhere. But I never grew an appreciation for houseplants until in my adulthood. So when I got married, I moved out. My mom gifted me a Boston fern, my grandmother's 15-year jade plant, and some begonias. And so they were kind of like my plant babies in the beginning. And then I got pregnant with my daughter. And during the pregnancy, it was a high-risk pregnancy. And so we were doing constant follow-ups, constant ultrasounds, and found out that I was actually diagnosed with cancer during my pregnancy. Ooh. And through that, obviously, at the moment then, didn't realize how houseplants impacted my life. And so having houseplants everywhere in my home really cultivated just a better healing process. It was actually advice from the medical professionals after I finished treatment, got into remission, and they told me right afterwards, you need to take 30 minutes every single day, rain or shine, freezing or not, you need to go outside. And that's how you recover even if you're not feeling it, even if you're not feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, you got to get outside for 30 minutes every wow. single day. And so that was the biggest advice that I took. And when we started doing that regularly, I really wanted to continue that indoors. And so I started growing my plant collection from there. And then when I had my daughter, she started asking questions about, what is this? What is this? And instead of saying, hey, this is a plant or this is a tree, I thought, what an amazing opportunity to teach her about what this plant really is. It has a name. It has a personality. It has needs. And so we started with, this is our 15-year-old Benjamina.
For those listening, Priscilla has a very large Ficus Benjamina behind her, which is very beautiful.
Yes. And it's a little bit fussy sometimes. So that's things that I was able to teach my daughter. And so we started with a reference, visual reference. She was at the time about 2. And so she obviously couldn't read at the time. I started illustrating each plant that we had in the house, and she would go and spot them out and say, oh, this umbrella tree need this amount of water, or can I have 2 cups of water for this Benjamina tree? And so it started cultivating a love through plant care in her life. And through that, all the illustrations and all the guides, we put them together and created my first ABC book of houseplants.
You illustrated your own book?
I did.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It's Thank beautiful. You. Wow, that's amazing. You're so talented to be able to illustrate and write. But yeah, your book, my ABC book of houseplants, it's so cute. I appreciate that you use the plant Latin, and it's exactly what it is. You know, it's the alphabet. Like, you get so many alphabet books for the animals, you know, for the zoo animals, for this, for that, but you did it for houseplants, and it's so great. Number one, I'm so sorry for your health journey, and that must have been so terrifying to have cancer while you had a kid, while you were growing a kid, and your hormones are all, I mean, it's so fascinating to me that you used your connection with your plants as a way to regulate your nervous system and stay calm and care for them, care for yourself. And then that was then translated into your daughter, who was in your belly while you were doing all of this, all of a sudden had this natural curiosity for the plants. Like, that's kind of cool.
And one thing you don't know, Maria, your book really helped me through that journey. Yes. And so I remember that connection where you were making with different plants and asking yourself, how are you feeling today? What does this make me feel? When I tender to my tomato plant, how does that make me feel? And so there's different tips in your books that I really carried on in my journey as understanding the connection with houseplants and self-care.
Wow. Thank you, Priscilla. Yeah. When you're an author, I mean, I'm sure you know too, you publish this book and you don't really understand the impact it has on people. So hearing that it was part of such a tender part of your journey, that's such an honor. What a privilege. What a privilege. And how full circle now that you're coming to talk about your book with me. So you have 2 kids now?
Yes, I do.
And are they both super involved in houseplants with you?
Interesting. So I have a daughter and a son. And my son just turned 1 not too long ago. And I've heard a lot of, I don't say myth, but a lot of interesting facts about boys, how boys are busy, they're kind of reckless, mm-hmm. they'll get into your plants, maybe rip some leaves. And so far, I'd like to attest that he's learning how mm-hmm. to live with houseplants, which is very interesting, learning how to be gentle with them. He touches and feels, he's curious. So I don't know if that's fully true in terms mm-hmm. of boys and girls, but it seemed that they're both very interactive in different ways. So he likes touching and feeling. Mm. And my daughter loves just looking and cultivating, watering.
Watering, yeah. Wow. That's interesting. You know, with kids, and I talk about this as adults, plants are such an opportunity for us to experience awe and curiosity and almost to be a student again and to be a kid again, because we're not allowed to like have the awe. I mean, I have a 6-month-old niece, and watching the way she looks at everything with the most incredible wide-eyed awe is so inspiring, because I think until you see that, you don't realize how much you don't do that anymore. Like, you don't realize how much you've lost that. And so to connect with your kids at such an early time and allow them to amplify their awe, to amplify their curiosity with plants, Also, I could see, like, with your son, if he ends up being very active and very busy, maybe using plants as a way to have him slow down and be quiet. Not like be quiet, but like have a quiet moment. That's so fascinating. And even just as a way for you to get to know your kids and their different personalities, to be like, yeah, this is how she likes to interact. And he interacts really differently, regardless of gender. But it's like such an interesting way for you to learn more about your kids' personalities and how they interact with the world around them.
Yes, I love to say that children teach us a little bit more than what we know.
100%. And are they teaching us or they're reminding us? Like, you know, they're reminding us, they're helping us remember what we've been kind of forced to forget for such a long time.
I love that.
Which is so cool. And plants are such a great, juicy opportunity to do that. So you published your book, ABC of Houseplants, and then you like travel around and give talks and help kids engage with plants. So what does that look like?
I do. So it's a lot of fun, and I did not expect how fun it would be. And so that's why I'm partnering with all kind of fun brands, sustainable brands, plant venues to host more workshop and teach children. And so one of my first workshop that I did was with a local greenhouse in the Ottawa region in Canada. And we were about 40 children plus adults. Did not know how that would turn out. I didn't know if kids would go running around the greenhouse, if they would be pulling leaves everywhere. The age group was anywhere from 3 to 6, I believe so. So very young kids. And I have to say, Maria, I was so surprised on how attentive children are. They were listening, they were engaged, they were excited. I've never seen people being so excited for houseplants than children. They were just extremely excited. And so we had some tall houseplants, some major houseplants in the greenhouse, and they got to touch some monsteras. We learned about fenestration. Why does that happen? They learn about the Latin names too. And so we make it fun where we learn, okay, yes, this is a snake plant, but this is Latin for sensivaria. And where is a sensivaria from? And so we got to look at a map and see where in the world is a sensivaria and what do they like? Do they like dry soil? Where do they live? What kind of temperature and climate do they like thriving? And so how do we create what they like or where they are from right here in our home?
Very cool. You know, I'm realizing at first I thought this episode would just be for, you know, moms and dads who have kids, but I'm also realizing you're making me be like, I want to go to my local greenhouse and pitch this idea. Like, that sounds like so much fun just to be like playing in the dirt with a bunch of kids or to be doing this with my niece. I don't have kids yet, but to be doing this with kids on my block or all sorts of different ways to engage kids. So 100%. I want to mine you for, you know, 5 different ways that people could start them young, you know, start them young and get your plants engaged. Because I think some people might be like, okay, well, my kid doesn't like watering my plants, so they're not interested. But I have a feeling you have more interesting ways of capturing their curiosity and pulling them in. So why don't we go through your different ways of engaging kids?
Yes, 100%. And I think for myself, I can think about my own experiences with my own children and perhaps have the idea that all children are different, but research backs it up. There's really good research saying that the connection with plants and the connection with nature helps development to growth, helps with psychological benefits and physical benefits. And one of the research I really love, almost piggybacking on, is the Journal of Environmental Health Education, where they talk all about the benefits and the research, what they've done, followed kids who were just implemented in nature and plants from a very young age, and they kind of follow them through a certain period of time. So there is science to back up activities that we can create to help kids cultivate this life full of joy through plant care. And so one of the first things I like to recommend is, again, this could be based on the child's personality. And that's one thing I shared before I picked up on my son, is very sensory. And so feel, touch, smell. And so let kids touch fuzzy leaves. Let them touch an aloe vera or an African violet and maybe smell your lavender plant or mint, right? Mm. Let's rip off a tiny leaf and rub our fingers on them and make them smell it. And that sensory aspect of houseplants, get them really engaged and interested and potentially curious.
So plant friend, if you have little ones running around your home, you know how important it is to keep things safe when it comes to having non-toxic things in your house. And this also includes your houseplant care routine. And it's also why I love using Espoma organic products. This is true for human babies, for puppy babies, for animal babies, whatever types of kiddos you have running around your house. Espoma Organics potting mixes and fertilizers are completely organic, made with natural ingredients, so you can nurture your plants without worrying about harsh chemicals near you, your kids, or your pets. Espoma's products also contain beneficial microbes that support strong, thriving plants naturally. So these products are supporting your plant babies by helping them grow big and strong. And they're also supporting your human babies by keeping it safe in your home environment. So whether you're feeding your fiddly fig or repotting your pothos, Espoma Organic has you covered with safe, high-quality products that you can trust. To find out about all of their amazing indoor and outdoor products that are safe for people, pets, and the planet, you can go to espoma.com. You can check out all of their products there. You can also find their local dealer near you by putting in your zip code into their finder. Or you can go to my curated Espoma storefront on Amazon that's filled with all of my personal Espoma favorites. But when it comes to houseplants, I love their liquid indoor plant food and their all-purpose potting mix. Most of my houseplants are planted with the all-purpose potting mix and then fertilized with their liquid plant food. They have so many amazing products for both indoor and outdoor plants. So go check them out. Thanks, Espoma. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Graza, not just my new favorite olive oil, but my sister's favorite olive oil and my mom's too. It comes from a single type of olive, the Picual, which is straight out of Jaén, Spain, where over half of the world's olive oil is produced. This bottle looks so chic on your countertop, and the olive oil in Graza is so freaking good. And they have three different types of olive oil that you could use for any task. So they have the Frizzle, which is their newest olive oil, and it's designed with the higher 490 degree Fahrenheit smoke point if you need to fry anything. Then the Sizzle, which is what we use on our countertop, that's for 410 degrees Fahrenheit. It's an everyday cooking oil. We cook our eggs in it. I'm sauteing in it, doing it all in that Sizzle. And then they also have a Drizzle, which is a bold, punchy finishing oil that you can sprinkle on salads, dip in bread, or even put on your ice cream with a little salt. So my husband is an amazing cook, and he is extremely picky when it comes to oils. And he actually bought Graza Home before they ever became a sponsor. We purchased it because we thought it was a great product. So I was so excited when they came to us to sponsor. So Graza is hooking you up with 10% off anything on their site. You should go to graza.co and use code Maria to get 10% off. And you can grab that trio, which includes the Sizzle, the Frizzle, and the Drizzle for all of your olive oil needs and desires. And get cooking your next chef quality meal. That's graza.co. That's Graza. .co and use code Maria to get 10% off.
And so one of the things I've picked up from the workshop is we touched all kinds of plants. Again, like the sensitive barrier, we touched it. It's a harder, dense leaf. And so children were able to observe that versus a Monstera, which the density of the leaf is very different. And so touch, smelling, and sight. So anything sensory, get them touching your houseplants. And it's okay. Tell them, be a little bit gentle. Let's be gentle with our monsteras. And the second one, I love this so much because children really connect with storytelling. Stories can live on from a child from very, very, very young in child developments and carry on through a lifetime. And so storytelling is a huge aspect. So for example, connect plants with stories. Perhaps you have let's take the snake plant, and we can share an interesting fact of how the snake plants actually cleans our air and explain that to our children. This is kind of like a superhero power. And so make it fun. I'm going to share a story. It's not completely related to houseplants, but it's related to nature. And so my daughter, actually myself, I grew up being terrified of spiders. Terrified to the point where it was a phobia. When I had a daughter, I told myself, I don't want to eject the fear of spiders upon her. And I want her to discover spiders just like any other creatures. And so I kind of suppressed that. I don't know if that's healthy, but I allowed her to explore with spiders. And so she grabbed them and looked at them and named them. We named spiders Charlotte around the house after Charlotte's web. And when she started engaging with other children, she realized that perhaps maybe an adult evoked a certain type of fear. And so the children would evoke that the similar fear of spiders. And so, oh, let's smash a spider or let's smash this bug. And so I wanted her to have her own discernment. This is a living thing. I futurely believe this is a living thing. And right, let's let Charlotte go in the wild. And that's one thing I was teaching her. When she started picking up the fear from other children, she started getting really, really fearful to the point where it was becoming a phobia. She didn't want to be around plants. She did not want to be in parks. And one of the books that changed her life, her little life, was The Bug Girl by Sophia Spencer. And so if you've never read the book, it's a book about, it's a true story. Sophia went to a conservatory. It's about how she connected with butterflies and that she loved bugs and wanted to be an entomologist. There's a twist in the story where kids did not like that. They smashed her grasshopper. And so the book kind of showed empathy, showed the story of Sophia. And my daughter was able to connect with Sophia and the empathy in the story. And so whenever she sees a bug now, she thinks of Sophia, the bug girl. And so if we can connect storytelling with houseplants and nature, it can ultimately change the way children perceive houseplants and nature.
That's beautiful. And it could be stories about where the plant comes from, what it likes, what it doesn't, or it can be stories about this is mommy's plant from here, or this is my plant from your dad gave me this plant, or, you know, my best friend gave me this, you know, like there's all sorts of different ways you can connect. Also, I wanted to bring up something that came up for me when you were talking was, you know, you said that you grew up with houseplants and then they only really became important when you were pregnant. I hear a lot of guests on this show that are like, yeah, I grew up surrounded by plants. My mom, my grandma were really big into plants. Then I left home. I didn't care about plants. I didn't value them. And then something in my life triggered me to reconnect with them and the safety and the comfort that they brought me. So also, like, all of these things that we're talking about today, you're putting in an investment, you're planting a seed in your kids or the kids in your life that you might see sprout like very later on in their lives, right? Like they might need to take it for granted a little bit or not be into it a little bit and then go away and then reconnect. But it's very interesting because you have all these memories from your childhood that are associated with nature or plants. So fascinating. Okay, so we have touching and then storytelling. What's number three?
Yes. Number three is a little bit more hands-on. And so let them get involved, get their hands dirty, put out some mats everywhere in your kitchen if you have to. And one thing that I do, I take out my potting mix and a bucket and I let them touch and feel. I actually do that while I do the dishes and they take a long time to just touch and feel, throw in some shovels and play things in the box and they build things. And if I have little propagated plants that I want to plant, then I allow them to do that so they can feel the roots. So do something hands-on and it's okay to get dirty. It's okay to get dirty and messy. I know it's not fun to clean up at the end, but these are the, I want to say seeds that we are planting, just like you're saying.
Yeah, you're making a potting mix sandbox. I love that.
Ultimately.
Yeah, I love that.
Another point is make it interactive. And so I think that's probably point number four is create an interactive session at a houseplant. Kids always love to have fun. And so if you're out in a greenhouse, I have a scavenger hunt download and make it bring the download if it's a printable. And you can have the children pick out the different plants that they see in the house on the scavenger hunt printable. And so that becomes an activity. The printable works at home as well. One thing that I've done with my daughter is go around in the book and point out all the plants that we have in the book, make it interactive. And that becomes an activity of itself.
Yeah, it makes me think, I feel like you're always looking for things to do and free things to do with your kids, like places to take your kids. I've never thought of just going to a greenhouse and spending an afternoon in a greenhouse and doing a scavenger hunt. And then obviously maybe purchasing a houseplant and thanking the greenhouse for their space. But even if you don't have the budget for that, you can go to a greenhouse or a botanical garden, something with free access, and just take a scavenger hunt and do that. Or even just play that like I spy game, like I spy something green, I spy something blue, I spy a flower, I spy, you know, if you're training your kids to know the names of plants, like I spy a snake plant. Where do you see the snake plant? Yeah, that's so fun. I want to play that game with my adult friends.
It is fun. And it actually takes up a long time. So for the parents that are truly looking for an activity, you could definitely kill 1 to 2 hours doing this. And the best part is everyone's having fun.
Yeah. So we'll put the link in the show notes for that download in case anybody wants to get your scavenger hunt guide.
Yes.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet. It's so fun. The style shows up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes and you've worn through them, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. I just got my first Armoire box and I am so blown away. I was doubtful about the stuff fitting me because honestly, plant friends, I'm kind of a mess with my style in my closet right now. I've had a lot of weight fluctuations. Nothing fits. I'm struggling to find my new Floridian style after living in sweaters in New York for the last 10 years. Every single piece in the Armoire shipment, 3 dresses, a pair of pants, and a sweater, it all fit perfectly. It was wild. It doesn't fit perfectly when I go into the store, but this perfectly curated selection of clothes was amazing and just ready to wear. I'm actually wearing the pants right now at my office. They're so cute. They're not spandex. They're making me feel kind of elevated. I also love how sustainable this company is and that Armoire is female founded and it features tons of female designers. Gotta support that girl power. So if you could use a refresh to your wardrobe and want to do it in a sustainable way, right now, Armoire is giving you 50% off your first month. Because you're a Growing Joy listener. That's up to $125 off based on what tier you choose. Just visit armoire.style/bloom. So that's armoire.style. I'm going to spell it for you. It's armoire.style/bloom to get up to 50% off of your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. armoire.style/bloom.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
And a last tip is get creative with plants. And so plants bloom, some houseplants bloom, some leaves fall. What do we do with the flowers? What do we do with the leaves? And so try leaf rubbing. That's one thing that we do where you put the leaf underneath the paper and then you rub the top with either pastel or crayon. And the child's able to see the texture that is derived from overlaying a leaf or a flower over paper.
So you're putting it in between two pieces of paper and then rubbing the top piece of paper so that the outline of the plant comes through.
Yes.
Oh yeah. We used to do that as a kid all the time.
Yes. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Plant-inspired drawings and even collages. So one of the things I love to do is collages. And so these are just flower petals that fell from a houseplant, and we glue them and we can do different shapes, kind of place them anywhere we want, and they become really nice artwork. And so creating art with houseplants and flowers, I want to say houseplants, the leaves actually fall to the ground. Let's not, I'm not picking up all my houseplants, but the leaves that falls to the ground, they can do that with the plants outside as well. And so when the leaves are falling or if they have flowers that are falling, take them home and make a collage with them. Creates an activity.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You were making me think too with like the leaves falling and stuff. It's a great opportunity to help your kids also connect to the life cycle of a plant and start bringing in that concept of what do you do when this plant dies? How can you compost it? What are we supposed to do when we recycle leaves? Or should we throw them out in the backyard so the leaves decompose and feed the grass? Like there's all sorts of different ways that you can start talking about death is the wrong, like kind of a dramatic word, but the life cycle and seasons of life as well. Like it's an interesting and kind of safe way to start talking about those things.
Oh, I love that you mentioned this, Maria, because that's a terminology that I use at home a lot, especially when my daughter noticed the leaves falling and she asked, what is happening? And I said, well, that's the life cycle of nature. And so we're able to connect the exterior with the houseplants that we have in the interior space. So I love the fact that you touched on that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, I love that. Do we have one more?
Yes, bonus. Okay. Children love responsibilities. They love to feel empowered to help. And so right now, one of the things that we're doing is assigning houseplant tasks to my daughter. And so she goes in and she misses the plants. And that's her houseplant task. And so she has a chart that says, okay, this plant maybe likes 2 miss, this plant likes 3 miss. And so starting out with something very simple, a very simple task, help them build that responsibility and fulfillment that they are actually helping in the process of caring for houseplant. And so it's okay. There's going to be water that's going to fall on the floor, and that's okay. I know as a parent, you're cleaning up constantly, but like you mentioned before, Maria, these are seeds that are being planted in our children, and the benefits that they'll gain from this is tremendous.
Yeah, responsibility, routine, structure. How often does she do this?
About once a week.
Yeah, once a week. That's so great too, because realistically, once a week, misting a houseplant, is it going to make a real incremental difference? No, but it's also not going to hurt it by her watering it every day or something. So it's kind of the perfect way to get her started in a way that's accessible, that she can do. The mister is a lot lighter than a watering can, and she can feel really empowered. Oh my God, I love that. Your kids are so lucky to have you as their mom.
Thank you.
These are all really easy, accessible, fun ways to engage kids that don't require a lot of money, don't require a lot of even expertise with houseplants, right? Because just playing I spy with my little eye is not that hard in nature, you know, whether or not you know the plant's names. Your book is also a fabulous addition to any kiddo library. Where can people get your book?
Yes. So it can be found in multiple places. One, they can purchase it directly from me because the book has been printed locally in Ottawa, Canada, and is FSC certified. And so you can definitely get it from my website, PriscillaJoseph.com. Or for all the Canadian friends, there's Indigo. You can purchase it either in stores or online. For my American friends, there's Amazon. And then for local, there's local greenhouses in Ottawa that also carry my book.
Very cool. Well, congratulations, author. And you're doing such important work for the next generation, getting them started young. We'll link to the book for Canada and the States. We'll link to the free download. I'm going to download that scavenger hunt. So fun. This was such a fun interview. Thank you so much for giving us all these ideas.
Thank you so much, Mariana. I think that's the goal, is to help families and children cultivate joy through plant care.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Priscil. This was a beautiful conversation. I'm leaving very inspired. You can go check her out. PriscilJoseph.com is her website. We will link everything in the show notes. Go follow her on socials. And also, we have links to that free download that she offered, The Scavenger Hunt, which sounds like so much fun, and also links for her book. Because if you have a kiddo in your life, this would be a fabulous book to gift. Also, great baby shower idea. I have to go to a baby shower. I think I'm going to bring this book to it. This conversation also reminded me, one of my most favorite parts about my passion for plants has been how it has connected me to generations above and below me. I have connected with my mom about my garden. I connected with this old retiree, Melody, in my former neighborhood, and we gardened for an entire year together. I love talking to kids about houseplants. I just installed a wildflower garden in my front yard that I'm going to put signage out so the kids can learn about different native wildflowers in Florida. I'm so excited to have kids of my own to do these practices with that Priscil talked about today, and also to figure out a way that I can do it with kids even earlier than that. So anyway, plant friends, I hope this episode is inspiring because, as always, I am here to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.